MCHC welcomes Morgan Walker to the staff of the Knott County Medical Clinic.
Hello, I'm Morgan Walker. At MCHC, we offer our patients flexible hours and same-day appointments, even on weekends. We also feature telehealth appointments via your computer or phone. Don't forget your back-to-school immunizations for the kids, including your COVID-19 vaccine or booster, along with your flu shot, to keep your entire family healthy. So schedule your preventative visit today. Mountain Comprehensive Health Corporation, providing better health for a longer life.
Know the drill with Wes Smith. Wes Smith. Presented by MCHC.
Oh, man. You know the drill. Sponsored by MCHC, providing better health for a longer life. I always want to throw something extra in there, but I don't know that Mike Cottle and MCHC will let me. Anyway, listen, I wish that I had hit record about 15 minutes ago because I think I have laughed. Listen, we are coming live to you from the Balsam Forest tonight. or at least that's what it smells like. The Balsam Forest.
What's Balsam? Give us a rating 1 through 10, Seth, of the Balsam Forest smell that you're gathering right now as that light flickers off of your face. Tell us the smell. Can you describe for us? Maybe give us a scale 1 to 10 on what you rate the Balsam Forest scent.
Well, I guess since I want to say thank you, Wes, for having me. Right. I want to say thank you to Wes. And also I want to say, you know, this is West Virginia. So the forest around me, if you can really turn the volume up and get
can it. Can we hear it?
We can hear the Balsam Forest.
I mean, you could really hear the crickets and you can really smell the forest here.
We've
had a lot of rain over the last week or two. And so it's really kind of blossomed all the bushes and all the trees, but the Balsam Forest smells great. You know, on a scale from 1 to 10, I'd say it's a 7.
That's good. You know? Like a West Virginia would, 7?
No. Well, I think West Virginia 7 is pretty decent. Mm-hmm. I think if I was on top of a mountain in West Virginia and climbing a red spruce tree, I think that'd be a 10.
Well, Wes will tell you that usually a West Virginia 7 is about equalative to like a Lexington 5, like 4 or 5.
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty accurate. I think there's a 3-point difference.
Yeah. I agree.
I think that's pretty accurate.
As Coach Seth Curlock has found out, we do not do formal introductions much on this show.
I just introduced myself
a few times. But we have, ladies and gentlemen, I was just talking to them before this podcast. I've come to the conclusion that I just love it way better if instead of just me and one person, I love my guests and they've been great so far, but I love having this almost roundtable discussion with multiple people. And there is no better group of people to have together than what we have here today with me, Seth Curlock, which if you have not found out is live from West Virginia. I really don't think there's such thing as the Balsam Forest other than the candle, the off-brand candle that's flickering in his face.
Yeah, thank you.
Brady Kennedy and Winston Lee, both former guests on this show, and I love them so much. I have to have them back more often. I've got to ask, Seth, since we've already talked about West Virginia 7s and Lexington 5s and everything else on this show, I've got to know, what do you think? I've always wanted to ask somebody from West Virginia this, when I say always, like the last couple of weeks. What do you think about MGK and Jelly Roll's Lonely Road song that's kind of a spin off of Country Roads by John Denver?
Well, it's funny because he came up and played that. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah, he came up. At the football game. He was here for our opening game. West Virginia University played Penn State,
mm-hmm.
right? Played them at home.
Big
and that's
game.
Like, yeah, we played them last year. And, you know, I don't know if you knew this or not, but we used to be in the same conference with Penn State.
Ah.
So, yep. Yeah, WU has an old rivalry with Penn State.
Yeah.
So I up until those conferences mixed in the 80s and 90s, early 2000s, and we were playing Penn State all the time. So that's an old rivalry. And, you know, I think our record is pretty terrible with them. They've always been better than we are. But it was crazy because I don't know if you've ever been to Morgantown, you know, during move-in week. So in Morgantown during move-in week, I was up there, you know, I coached and I had done the basketball camps with WU.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I had got in with the coaching staff and moved up there and they had helped me get a place and all that. And so I was up there doing my master's and it was amazing because move-in week, you would have, I don't know what you call that. I mean, the top music artist in our mm-hmm. era. I mean, at one point we had Lil Wayne. We had, MGK was there, but we've had all kinds of them. I mean, it's pretty great. And
Seth,
so move-in week is like a big party. So,
what's your favorite? Cool. What's your favorite Lil Wayne verse, Seth? I probably shouldn't ask.
Seth, I can answer that. Seth's favorite part of every Lil Wayne song is the introduction that you can hear the flicker of the big lighter.
Yep.
Hold on.
It means I'm here.
I don't know. So hold on. I should say this too. Good call. Good question. First concert I ever went to, legit concert, paid for in an
was
arena.
Lil Wayne.
Lil Weezy, baby, with the boys. That was with you guys.
That was with us.
Awesome. I'm a young money millionaire, younger than a cash. I don't know. Lil Weezy is just, I don't know. What can you say? I don't even know right now. I might be a little,
I might be
a little too.
I'm a little hurt. I'm a little hurt that we're not going to see him at the Super Bowl, but it's
whatever. I'm really hurt. Yeah. We'll save it for another show, but I'm really hurt. I'm giving Kendrick a chance, but I'm really hurt.
Yep.
I'm working through it, but I'm hurt.
Yeah. So we can talk. No, I get this.
I'm really
feel better, Brady.
Yeah.
I lost in a spelling bee that afternoon to the word wrath. How would you guys spell rye?
Well, first of all, we can't understand what you're saying because you're from Southeast Kentucky. So it sounds like you're saying R-A-Y-Y-Y-Y-T-H. So I don't know what you just said. Rice?
That's rye? What I'm saying.
What is rye? Is that R-A-T-H? Or are you saying wrath? Like,
you tell me, because this guy
I'm from
said
West Virginia,
it.
I don't even understand what you just said.
This guy said it, and I was like, what? He's like, yeah, like to writhe in pain. I'm like, I've never done that. I've been in all kinds of pain.
If it makes you feel any better, you've told me how to spell this at least 10 times, and I still don't know how to spell it.
Well, let me give you this little bit of info. It don't start with an R.
Does it not?
I bet it starts with a W. W. It does.
W-R-A-I-T-H.
I think it's a Y.
Seth's going wrath.
I'm not sure.
The wrath of Seth Kerlock.
Right.
I don't know, but that's the word.
Yeah, you get hit with pillows and hugs.
That's the word that tripped me up. I know we're going to talk a lot of sports, but yep. Wes, before we do, I want to mention our kindred spirit in you know, Western North Carolina and Eastern Tennessee. You know, there's been a lot of flooding and devastation down there on a level of which I've never seen. And I think everybody in this group, like, has seen it really bad here in Southeastern Kentucky. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys were around me in that time in 2022 when we were hit with devastating, like, historic flood. And this is terrible. And you know, they're part of Appalachia. and it's like kindred spirits down there, West Virginia, all the way down to Western North Carolina and Eastern Tennessee. So
I just
want to say, if this reaches anybody in those hills, man, of those areas that were devastated and you know, negatively impacted and affected, then our prayers and thoughts are with you. I'm trying to go down there this week. I'm going to try to go down this week.
Well, I'm so glad that you mentioned it, because, you know, I was just thinking earlier before you brought that up. Unfortunately, we see it under these circumstances, but under any circumstance, it's still so beautiful to see not only a state, but in the scenario of what you just mentioned, an entire country come together to, we experienced it in the tornadoes in Western Kentucky, how Eastern Kentucky came through for them. We saw it in the floods of Southeastern Kentucky, how Western Kentucky had their back, picked them up. And now we see it with, I can't tell you how many people from Western Kentucky, Eastern Kentucky, Northern Kentucky, wherever, who is really, you know, sacrificing to be able to help those who are undergoing similar circumstances to what everybody has experienced, and possibly, like you said, even worse. And it's a beautiful thing. Unfortunate that it's these circumstances that brings that beautiful thing about most of the time, but still a beautiful thing to see.
Man, just really bad infrastructure damage there. I'm just really worried about how long it's going to take for those good people to recover, man.
Well, we remember Hurricane Katrina, and hearing the numbers of damage with this hurricane is just astronomical compared to the Katrina numbers. And we remember how bad that was. And I think that puts it a little bit into perspective.
I mean, freaking our fence got drilled, and we're like a 15-hour drive from the coast.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it was like, we were thinking about even like, I mean, I can't imagine what it was like right on the, you know what I mean? So it's like, that is like crazy. You know what I'm saying?
And shout out to our good friend, Austin Kidd, who has a new nickname of Daddy, and it's for completely PG reasons. He had a baby today, but went through. It's always astounding for me to think, Austin Kidd, as we know, was an assistant at Florida Gulf Coast for a while, and went through one of those tornadoes or hurricanes, not tornadoes, in Florida. And I remember texting him and being like, "Hey, you okay?" And he was like, "Man, it's a Category 3. They don't really do anything down here for a Category 3.
I'll be out of there. What? Category 3, I'll be gone.
But anyway,
we don't have those in West Virginia.
Yeah, exactly, Seth.
I'll be gone.
We've got some protection of the mountains and trees up here.
Yeah. It's devastating. You think about Hurricane Katrina was like really, really localized on the coast there.
Yeah.
And now you think about, we've got three or four states that are flooding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and you didn't think it was going to be as bad as that. And we all know Hurricane Katrina was far more devastating, but if you do the numbers and look at the casualties, there's already been over 90 people that have passed away.
So, and still looking, and they're looking.
Still looking.
Yeah. No, they're looking. Mean, you know, I think this is a time where I think Americans in general should come together, and I'm glad they are.
Yeah, absolutely. And prayers up to those people. If anybody out there wants to know how they can help, feel free to reach out to us at Hometown 24. I know for a fact that our people there, as well as the people here on this screen, know several ways that you're able to assist in those efforts. So feel free to reach out if you don't know how to help, and we'll help. I'm really glad that Winston brought up the spelling bee and Rife, and how Seth mentioned that our accent, because boys, let me tell you, one of my favorite things to do, as we know, this past weekend, the Wildcats travel down to Oxford, Mississippi.
Let's go, Cats.
Seth is a WVU Mountaineer, and he's still
excited.
But let's go,
Cats, baby.
We go down, pull the upset. It's the fourth highest ranked upset in Kentucky football history.
Let's but go.
You know what's even more exciting to me than seeing that? I love when an upset like that happens, to be in the car the next day and put on a podcast that is stationed in the team that got upset. So you know exactly what I do. On Monday, I go straight to the Blue and Red podcast down in Oxford, Mississippi, just to hear, because they were talking a lot of beforehand, especially with our good friend over at KSR, Matt Jones, and all the stuff he got stirred up before. And man, but what brings me to that is we talk about that upset. And I want to know, how does Kentucky always get the bad rep for being redneck? Have you listened to some of those podcasts from Mississippi?
Well, from what I gather, Ole Miss, and knowing what I know about geographic location, and I think Seth can back me up on this, I'm pretty sure that Mississippi is about as deep south as it gets.
And I love it. I love it. You know, I love, you know, I'm proud to be from Appalachia. I'm proud, and I say it Appalachia. It's not Appalachia. It's Appalachia.
No, if you say Appalachia, you're a foreigner. You may as well go ahead. May as well go ahead and reopen Ellis Island. Get your out of here, okay? Because
can you spell Appalachia?
You can't spell Appalachia. No, you can't spell it. You just gotta say it.
I can't spell Appalachia.
I don't care how you spell it.
I can spell it. You put me in.
I don't care how you spell it.
I got better spelling Wrath in Appalachia.
And Brady, you got runner up.
I think Winston's the one we got to ask what he can spell.
I can spell Appalachia.
Sure you can.
So what really, I didn't know this during the game. So you guys know just about every Saturday, especially in the fall, I DJ. You know, this was brought up last show that I'm always conflicted between a UK game and DJing. And so here we are again, Saturday afternoon. Even the 12 o'clock start didn't help me too much, because this wedding of all weddings started at 4:30. So here it comes, down to the wire, end of the game. We're needing huge fourth down play. We're needing like stops on defensively late in the game. And here I am packing up DJ equipment. I'm getting ready to head to the top of Pine Mountain, where, crazy enough, it's dry as a bone here in the bottom of Letcher County. Here, even on top of my hill in Letcher County, I get to the top of Pine Mountain. It's a monsoon. There's fog. It's a storm up there. It's like a different atmosphere. It's like the climate change at the top of this mountain. And so I'm listening. I lose cell phone service. I can't watch it. I'm listening to the radio. I feel like I live in the 40s. And I'm listening to the radio. In my mind, imagining how this is going down. But what hurt me is, after all of this happens and I miss the Mark Stoops body surfing, I miss the locker room celebration, all I get is this lame after interview with Brock Vandergrift, you know, after the game is about all I get. But then what I really miss that I hate, did Ole Miss have a goal and backboard that said UK on the sideline?
They did. Yes, they did.
So that's what did they do after they scored?
That's their thing. Like in team games. That's their thing.
And you know, it was on the sideline?
On the sideline after
that's their turnover. That's their turnover chain thing.
Yeah.
So it's not when they score, it's when they get a turnover.
No. He scored a touchdown and did it.
Oh, they did? Okay. So that's
Do they give him a basketball?
No, he dunked.
No, he did it with the football. It was like a football basketball thing.
So
with UK's emblem on it.
Is it like a Walmart goal? Like what is?
Yeah,
it's cheap. It's like put the sand / water in the bottom.
We don't need to go big here.
They didn't get a gorilla goal for the sideline.
Are we going to hate on Ole Miss celebration? We're going to talk about UK's defense, because to be honest with you, I'm looking at some statistics. Hey. Here. No, listen. I'm looking at some statistics here. The Rebels were averaging 55 points and 670 yards per game before they met the Cats. Okay. Now, also, the Cats also held Georgia to what, 13 points the week before?
13.
Yep. So come on now. The defense, and I don't know the defensive coordinator.
But Brett, go ahead.
No, I'm asking.
You're asking who the defensive coordinator?
Yeah.
Brad White.
Where's his name? Tell me about him.
He's the OG of the Kentucky staff. So he's the one guy. You know, the offensive coordinator has been really a revolving door for the past several years. So, like, we had Liam Cohen, who's leading Baker Mayfield to a ball-out MVP year now. And who, by the way, you know, he had Will Levis, obviously, who is still considered a starting quarterback in the NFL, even though after last night I'm not so sure he starts anymore. And then, which he did get hurt. But now he also had Wandale Robinson, who I think we can all agree, if you've watched any NFL so far this season and at the tail end of last year when he was healthy, he is a huge difference maker for the New York Giants right now.
Absolutely.
Like, he's arguably their underneath guy.
He's like a Tyreek,
except not as fast, but just as sneaky good. As Tyreek, like in those first couple of years at Kansas City, getting his name. Like, Wandale is that type of player. He's very dynamic. So he had those guys, and he also had C-Rod. So he, you know, you talk about three NFL players, and he had, well, you mean, he also had old boy that plays for the New Orleans Saints now on the line. He had Landon Young on the line.
Landon Young, former guest on the podcast.
He had a huge NFL presence. He had a bunch of studs, and he went on, which a lot of UK fans are mad about, but I'm not that upset about. But Brad White is our one, like, dude that has been there and led this defense and been very consistent. And that used to be more like the big blue wall on the offensive side with the offensive line. But now, obviously, it's Brad White, and he's doing his freaking job this year. Actually has the stats on where they stand nationally defensively. What were those?
So after the Georgia game, now I've actually not updated this since the Ole Miss game. After the Georgia game, Kentucky defense was ranked fourth in the nation, according to several sites. ESPN had Kentucky defense, total defense, ranked sixth in the nation. Texas ranked first in about every poll I see. But one thing we have to mention with that, look who Kentucky has played to be ranked fourth. You know, South Carolina, Georgia.
Ooh.
So, I mean, to me, that's pretty impressive. And Winston was mentioning Brad White kind of being the OG and how he, you know, this success. Brad White seems to have Kirby Smart's number at Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've been the team to hold Georgia every year.
But here's the thing, right? It's like us as UK fans, and we get all tore up and like just tore all to hell when we lose to South Carolina like that. And we should, especially after now you look and see what's happened as we progressed, right? It's like, damn, how did we lose to South Carolina like that? After we damn near beat Georgia, and then we beat Ole Miss in the Grove. So it's like, how did this happen? But I think for so long, for so many years, we get so close to winning those games like the Ole Miss game, right? Like the Georgia game. We get so close, but we never make the one play that gets us over the hump, right? We never make the one play. And Saturday was the first time, and of all teams to do it, I did not think this was the team to do it. And y'all know I'm the eternal optimist. And I never thought in a million years, I bet against them. I never thought in a million years that this would be the UK team with what they have offensively to make the one play to get us over the hump. And the one play was obviously Vandegrift to Barry in there late in the game going for it on 4th and 7. But I think the loss to Georgia had to play into that decision, right? And I love what Luke Kiffin – do you hear what Kiffin said after the game?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they'll never make – he's pretty much like, they'll never make that play again. And Mark Stoops has never done that in his life.
Never done that in his life. But, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was listening to one of the Old Miss podcasts, and they were kind of – it's also nice to really hear another team rip their coach like we usually rip Mark Stoops.
I would love to hear that. I'm actually wondering, like, Sis, you know, we get inside opinion bias, right? So, like, after you tell us what this Ole Miss does, I want Seth to tell us what he really thinks about the University of Kentucky football program.
My thing is, you know, after coaching a little bit of college basketball and coaching, I became a real fan of the game. And so for me, I become a fan of the players. And I'm, as we're talking here, I'm looking up some of these guys here. SEC player of the week here.
Yeah.
We have Oxendine and Alex Renor. And Renor had hit, he's from Georgia. I don't know if you knew that. Kennesaw, Georgia. Renor hit field goals, including a 48 yarder. And then you've got, oh my goodness, Oxendine had two sacks.
He's what? He set a record for consecutive. Has he missed?
Yeah, he has now made 14 consecutive goal attempts, extending the school record. He said a 12th straight in Ohio game. Yeah.
And so, Brady and Blue will tell you our Achilles heel there through in every Kentucky era, the Joker era, even the Rich Brooks era, early in the Stoops era, like one of our Achilles heels was kicking.
Special teams.
Special teams.
Which is crazy, though, because didn't Kiffin have to go in a frat house and get a kicker or a punter?
Yes. That is an old fable. Okay, this is cool.
That
Meanwhile, the rumor is Florida wants Kiffin. I don't know if you guys know this.
Who doesn't want Kiffin, though? Let's be real.
They want Kiffin to lose. They want to take Kiffin. I don't know why.
I don't care. I don't get it.
Let's
poll it. Don't get too excited. Let's poll it.
I'm just saying, right. I don't get it.
Wes, you go first.
Sorry.
First of all, I want you to finish what the Ole Miss podcast.
Sorry.
But then, when you are done, tell us if you would want – if Mark Stoops were to decide, and after this win, obviously, he ain't going no damn where. We thought after the South Carolina loss, you know, tricks on us is that we thought after the South Carolina loss, everybody's like, oh, God, the seat's hot. Like, oh, God, Stoops is going to get himself fired. Fire Stoops. And then now, all of a sudden, we're probably going to build a statue outside of Crocker Stadium. So it's like that talk's done. But what if Mark Stoops decided up and after this year, I want to go on to greener pastures or give it up altogether? Would you want Lane Kiffin? Tell us, Wes, about the podcast, and then tell me if you want Kiffin, and then let's go down the line. I want Seth to answer it honestly for West Virginia. Go ahead, Wes.
Three points to that. I'm not so sure that I've always said from the start that it would not be Kentucky firing Mark Stoops. It would be Mark Stoops leaving Kentucky. And I think the one thing preventing Stoops from leaving Kentucky was the ability to hold down another job. We saw it with Texas A&M back in the offseason. They pulled out from under him or he was gone. So this might buy him another job, guys. But with the Ole Miss podcast, there is a guy, and he's one of the guys that ripped our KSR friend Matt Jones so hard. His name is Brad Logan. And Brad Logan is, like Travis Branham, he works for 24/7 Sports. And he is on the Red Blue Crew podcast. And I got to listen to that this weekend. And, man, they ripped into Lane Kiffin. And, Winston, I would have told you before listening to that podcast, I would have told you that if Mark Stoops catches a flight out of Lexington and takes a job elsewhere, Lane Kiffin would be my only veteran coach I would go for because I felt like he was an offensive guru. I feel like he's an offensive genius. But after listening to Ole Miss's own podcast, their Red Blue Crew podcast, one of the things that Brad Logan and his co-host brought up is that if you are a guy, and in the interview you mentioned after the game, Winston, to me sums it up. If you are a guy that lives by analytics, which is what he does, he lives by the numbers. He looks at the analytics, and that's what he goes by. Analytics said that Mark Stoops does not go 4th-and-7 with a deep route down the sideline to Barry on Brown. No. So he didn't play that.
No.
And analytics bit Lane Kiffin.
Well, no. Well, here's the thing too, Wes, is we can sit here and say that it was an amazing play.
Yes.
And we're going to let Brady get to the question. It was an amazing, electric, you know, put the ball in the hands of your ball players. You guys know as coaches, like let your ball players play ball. That was the call. But I think more than anything, this wasn't Mark Stoops saying, let's go for it and get this touchdown.
No.
He meant, let's go for it and get 7 yards.
Yeah.
What Brock Vandergriff and Berrion Brown did was they said, we're going to go get 50, 60. We possibly score a touchdown. He should have scored a touchdown. He should have cut to the inside and went ahead and scored. But at any rate, I don't think the whole hang up on Mark Stoops going for it, it wasn't so much Mark Stoops going for it in that point as it was Brock Vandergriff and Berrion Brown making a play. Because Vandergriff after the game said, I looked on the outside and I saw it, they were one on one. And when I saw they were one on one, I set Berrion on the go and he caught it. I just threw it. And so it's like, I don't think maybe even the play call might have been, hey, hit Berrion on a go route. Let's go for the throat. I think the play call was like, hey, get what you can get and let's get this first down.
Whatever happened to the calling it a streak route? When did it turn into a go route?
It's called a go. Yeah. we used to call it a fly.
So, I called it – when I played for a year and it was a streak.
Brady.
We called it a fly.
Brady is whatever you want to call it. Brady is stuck in Madden 14.
Hey, you know they came out with a new NCAA, Brady. You just go buy it and it'll catch up, baby.
I was just playing it. It's great.
All right, Brady. No, Wes, go first. Would you take Lane Kiffin as your coach, yes or no?
I would have said yes, but now no. And not because of that game. I want a young guy. I want a young guy. I'll elaborate next episode. I want a young guy.
Brady, yes or no?
Can I explain why?
A short explanation, yes.
Yes. I think I would take Lane as my coach. I agree with Wes in saying Stoops is going to leave on his own. I'm confident of that. I don't think there's any question about that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I think Lane is a modern day. We're basketball guys. I think when you look at Lane Kiffin is a guy that – he walks in and he's that kind of that guy that scores a lot of points. He shoots threes. You know what I mean?
Who would you compare? Give us a basketball comparison.
He's like a Nate Oates. He's a basketball Nate Oates. He's who you want to go watch. A fan's gonna wanna go watch a Lane Kiffin game. They're not gonna go wanna watch a game that's 6-3. So I think From a money generating point of view in this NIL age, as an athletic director, I look at a Lane Kiffin. Does he have his flaws? Absolutely. Does he have his history of schools of what he's done? Absolutely. But like, if I'm Lane Kiffin, I got to send him in. Like, he's got this savvy about him that like, man, like I feel confident about this guy. He can go get his player that he needs to go score points and go raise money. That's all I need at this point. Honestly, at this point, go get me a quarterback that can put points up and go get me some money. That's all I need him for.
And get that in writing. Get that in writing. Seth, would you take Lane Kiffin at West Virginia?
Me?
Yes.
Heck no.
Oh, my. Seth?
I've never been a fan of Lane Kiffin, man. He went to USC and missed it all the heck.
Morgantown has a Kentucky boy.
Come on, man. Neil Brown. We should have got rid of his mediocre butt a long time ago. I don't know what to tell you. We put so much money in him, West Virginia ain't got the money to pay for people. If we had the money to pay for it, we'd have bought him out a long time ago. We've been mediocre for a while, but I got to be honest with you. I don't know. Lane Kiffin ain't never really struck me as a person I want to be around. And I think West Virginia people are like that. I think West Virginia.
I agree with you there, Seth. I agree with you.
Yeah. I don't think he would vibe with us. He just wouldn't vibe with us. You got to be a down home guy, you know, and into the community. You're going to be a Mountaineer. You're going to be a Mountaineer forever. We don't have a professional team, you know, and WVU is our biggest team. We got the Marshall Thundering Herd, but nobody wants a herd on. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, the Morgantown Mountaineers are the team. And it's a struggle.
Rush.
It's a struggle. Yeah, it's a struggle. So, to be honest with you, I think Neil Brown is a good guy. That's why he's stuck around so long. We like him, but it's mediocre. And we got the NIL money to do it. We can be competitive. this year we should have been on top of the Big 12, but we're not going to be. I mean, everybody in the Big 12 that was anybody left. I mean, Deion Sanders creeped into the Big 12 somehow. You know, come on, man. He's going to get his butt whooped for at least 3 to 4 years. Lane Kiffin will not be successful in West Virginia. Now, and I don't know if he'd be good for Kentucky either.
Would he be good?
To be honest with you, outsider looking in, I feel like Kentucky is like doing really well for themselves.
Who in the chat, who in the podcast can tell me what high school Neil Brown came from?
Wow.
I can't.
Hold on.
Don't
give me a hint. Hold on. I might have this.
Now, Seth, Google, don't help.
look here, my hand. You can't see the other hand. Look. He's from Ashland area. I'm going to say Boyd County.
So close.
Oh, not Boyd County?
Is it Ashland Blazer?
Boyle County High School.
Boyle.
Yep. Yeah, Neil Brown from Boyle County High School. He was a wide receiver at Boyle County. Anyway, continue.
That's an amazing little fun stat. I'll be honest. I'm kind of more like Brady. I think for the University of Kentucky, if we ever wanted to actually put ourselves in contention, like real contention, like right now, like Seth said, we're probably doing really good for ourselves. We go to a bowl. We win 6, 7, maybe 8 games on a crazy year.
It used to be a football team. Kentucky did not used to be a football team. In the last 10 years, you came a long way.
On a crazy year, we might win 10 games, and we're like, you know, whatever. But I don't see us at this rate, at this pace, ever, like, contending for a college playoff. I think if you hire somebody like Lane Kiffin and you give him enough resources – like with Ole Miss, right? They were undefeated, number 6 in the country. Even if we beat them, like it's like they were number 6 in the country before, you know, he got them to that point before we beat them. So it's like I would love to be 6 in the country and then maybe or maybe not get beat. I would be, you know, fine, whatever. They may win. They're a good enough offense. They may go on and win every game from there henceforward. So, you know, it's like – yeah, I think I would take Lane Kiffin. I think it will take somebody with a boisterous, like, really brash personality to take this job, a roll of the dice by the university. It could work. It could not. But that's the chip you would have to play in order to really compete in now the 12-team playoff system. So,
And I will say
– I would agree with that.
I will say there will come a time if it stays – Kentucky will make the 12-team playoff system. There's going to come a time.
I agree.
There's going to come a time. Will we ever? Yes, it's going to happen at some point.
Now, it's going to be hard. Here's the question. It's going to be harder for us at Kentucky because you look at it now, like you look at Colorado, they're projected to make the 12 now because their schedule's so easy. Kentucky and the SEC now, it's like that's where they're going to struggle with.
Oklahoma and Texas.
How do you be? That's where it's going to be hard. It's almost like you'd be better off if Kentucky could switch to like
the ACC.
Yeah, you'd be good because now you got to somehow manage. Like right now, they'd be sitting good if they would have beat South Carolina and beat Ole Miss.
Because
Colorado's not very good.
They're
not very good.
And I want to say, we're going to make the playoffs at some point, but it's going to be a one and done. We're never going to be Alabama, guys. We're never going to be Georgia.
It's like the year we won 10 games, right? Like,
yes.
But think about what that took. We just talked about it. I mean, you had an NFL quarterback, an NFL receiver, an NFL running back, and NFL lineman. Like, just think about what it takes. I will say one thing to that end is like NIL somehow I thought that NIL would mean that this cream would rise to the top, and all you would see is like Alabama, Georgia, Texas, Oklahoma. But somehow it has created this crazy parody, like weird Pandora's box where anything is possible. Like us going to be Ole Miss at the Grove. I would have told you, I've told you, I bet. I put my money, I put chips in on this. There was no way in hell that Kentucky goes down to Ole Miss and wins this game.
But you know what that somewhat is.
And it's happening everywhere. If you would have told me Alabama was up 28-0 on Georgia, I'd have said you're full of it. You know, it's like creating crazy paranormal realm.
Did you guys see that? Sorry to interrupt. I wanted to input on this. Did you guys know that Williams wide receiver is cousins with Serena and Venus?
What?
No.
Yes. Serena tweeted out, congrats, cuz. Look it up. They are cousins.
Well, Brady, you've been withholding information from us this entire.
No, I need a full pause.
That 17-year-old amazing stud Alabama wide receiver is cousins with the Serena and Venus.
That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense.
I need a full pause. Here's to Serena. God bless her. Goodness.
Serena is loved in Morgantown.
Come on, baby. Come on up.
Country road.
Hey, you can hit as many tennis balls you want to in this yard. You can hit them in the creek. Go ahead on and do it. Go ahead on, Serena. Oh, this is great. No, he is good. Listen, it was amazing. That
the
play
move,
was amazing.
The movie made. The movie I made. Mean, the movie oh. made after he kept his feet in bounds and then like a pirouette between two Georgia defenders. We talk about making this move between two Kentucky defenders, two like
he should be doing it against Jenkins. He should be doing it against Jenkins this year. He's doing it against Georgia.
That's what it looked like.
He made two future pros look stupid. They ran into each other.
So
that goes back to what you were saying earlier. I think, and we're going to talk a little bit about depth here. You might have guys on Kentucky's team right now, the full roster, maybe 10 of those guys are going to play in the NFL legitimate minutes. Meanwhile, you got guys full roster right now at Alabama and Georgia, and you got guys on the bench that may not play 10 games and get in the NFL. You got guys on the back. At Georgia,
absolutely,
Alabama. I mean,
absolutely.
It's hard to win if you're Kentucky in the SEC. You're
right.
Only going to get so many players. I mean, you got guys on the depth chart there that are third string that are playing in the NFL at Georgia and Alabama. So
you're right.
That's a struggle.
You're right.
So I want to pose this question because I want to go back to listening to those podcasts. I also listen to that SEC podcast. And I want to tell you, between listening to some Ole Miss podcasts, that SEC podcast, people outside of Kentucky are predicting that we are only going to be the underdog in two more games this season. You can probably guess what two games that is.
Tennessee and Texas.
And they're saying that Kentucky is not going to be the underdog in any games except for those two. With that being said, we're looking at the schedule. Vanderbilt.
Give me the rest of the schedule, boy.
Vanderbilt.
Okay.
Florida.
Okay.
That's at Florida.
Yes.
Auburn at home.
Okay.
At Tennessee. That's a loss. Go ahead and put a hell beside of that. Murray State.
Okay.
At Texas.
Okay.
Oof.
Home against Louisville.
Oh.
Hey, now Louisville's pretty good.
Louisville could be scary, but if you win that game before Louisville, you're going to be feeling pretty good.
Well,
I think your trap game is going to be Florida game. I mean, guys, the trap game's at Florida.
Louisville was what? Number 10 when we beat them last year?
No, Louisville can play.
Yeah, we did beat them last year. We really wasn't supposed to.
They
And
were number 10,
we
I
beat
think.
them soundly, and we wasn't supposed to.
On
But
the road at Louisville.
We did have a man. We had a dude.
But we're supposedly going to have a dude by then at Kentucky.
Ray Davis was a dude. He's like one of my favorite Kentucky players of all time.
He's great.
Love him.
He was great.
He's getting considerable snaps at the Bills. Anyway, yeah. I do hope that our young man that has been hurt all year, and we keep praying that he's going to come back healthy, will be back. And I think he will make a difference. You know, the game that worries me, and this sounds crazy, I worry about Vandy.
I do too. We saw what they did to Missouri.
You remember 2 years ago where they beat us?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Was that 2 years ago or last year? That was two years ago.
And they 2 weeks ago, they almost beat Missouri.
They scare me. I'm not even so much worried about playing at the Swamp as I am playing Vandy at home.
Bye week.
Yeah, so I'm just, you know, but I'm looking. Obviously, you're going to beat Murray State. I pray to God you're going to beat Auburn at home. You know, you're
Auburn's
probably
struggling.
You're probably not going to. You're probably not going to win at Tennessee and at Texas. but
no,
what you really
you're not.
but maybe I'm looking at the schedule and maybe. And then what does that put you? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That puts you at 8. You know, 8-4. I mean, that's probably. Us around this table probably talking before the season put us at 6-6 or 7-5. So even if you drop one of those, you don't want to drop. Like you accidentally lose to – I don't think he can lose to Vandy at home. I don't think we can lose to Vandy at home. Is it at home?
It's at home. And I agree because that – go ahead.
I don't think we can lose.
No.
It's night game with Keeneland. With Keeneland.
Night game with Keeneland.
And Big Blue Madness. And Big Blue Madness.
Which we would be failed. Which we would be failed to break this podcast without talking about Keeneland opening weekend this weekend.
Brady, you're exactly right.
Are we serious right now?
I don't know if you're eating pistachios or what.
When's the Vandy game?
It is October the 12th.
Oh, man, we might have to make something happen.
And Seth, that's the second weekend of Keeneland, and that is the night after Big Blue Madness.
Man, I'm going to have to put some dress clothes on. Lord have mercy. I'm gonna have to look good. I'm gonna have to trim this thing up. Look at it.
And ladies and gentlemen, by that he means he will show up with a pair of Carhartt dirty overalls on, is what he means.
By dressing up.
It'll be a button up under it, Winston. I'll put a button up flannel. I can do a button up flannel under.
We're talking about the man who outfit of choice in Las Vegas was a white robe and
slippers.
Free white fuzzy slippers that come in the closet for free. You're supposed to throw them away. He wore them out.
This is also the same trip that he met our good friend Casey Huff at the airport wearing his overalls.
Heading into 125 degree heat.
I'll tell you what, I'm supposed to have an anniversary trip 11th, 12th, and 13th, but if you promise to wear those overalls with no shirt on underneath them for both Big Blue Madness and Keeneland and the football game, I may just tell Whitney I'm sick.
I got multiple pairs of coveralls I can do that with. I don't wear underwear anyway.
Well, while we're on topic, though.
What underwear?
What is your perfect Keeneland day? Take me through... Let's say you've got a Keeneland day. You're heading to Keeneland. Are you betting? Do you have a strategy when you bet? Are you heading to the hill? Are you walking? Are you engaged in the? What is your? Take me through your day. What's your?
If you have a Keeneland day and you don't ride the public transportation van, you failed. Like that is where you that is your mood setter. That is your pregame. That is your postgame. That is your, you know, your mental focus, you know, building go on the public transportation van with the Keeneland breeze in your hand.
A Keeneland breeze.
And you don't have seats. You don't buy seats. You're on the rail where you belong.
Keeneland is sponsored by UK Healthcare.
Still wearing a suit.
I've never walked out of there a winner.
Brady, really? You walk in a winner. You walk, you find random horse owners from Pikeville, Kentucky, and get into the you walk in a winner. You can't walk out a winner if you walk in a winner.
I stay away from horse betting, man. I think that's I
can't horse betting is hard.
Yeah.
I think it's rigged. Am I allowed to say that on here? I think it's rigged.
You think Keeneland's rigged?
I think horse betting. I don't know. I just never win.
You better get on to the next topic, Wes, because I got to go to bed.
Oh, that's it. I think we talked Kentucky football, and we've got some good stuff. We've got some good stuff. We talked about our prediction. One last thing I want to get in. I read you those final games. Vandy at home at Florida, Auburn at home at Tennessee, Murray State at home at Texas, Louisville at home. Winston, you mentioned maybe 8 wins, 8-4. Brady, how do you see the Wildcats ending the season?
I said that, but let me say we're 7-5. Brady, go ahead.
I think it's all going to come down to the Vandy game. I think the rest of the season will come down to how they come out of that. I think college and sports in general is all about momentum, whether it's basketball or football, or I think all sports. I think kids, 18-year-old kids, they're not pros. I know they get paid like they are, but they're kids at heart. I think it's all about momentum and routine. And I know Winston sees it every day, and they're his high school team. So when you have a bye week like this, coming out of it so critical. So how they respond with Vandy, I think, is going to be how they lead into the second part of the season. So they come out, they win. I think I'm with you guys on the prediction of 8-4, 8. I think they're going to be on the good part of the win column. If they lose to Vandy, I could see it going south, because when it goes south, you saw it with UNLV. You see it with some of these schools where there's NIL thrown around, money thrown around, transfer thrown around. These kids can quit quick. They can bounce quick. You lose your locker room quick, and then you look around and you got kids that aren't playing. So you got a couple. Once they sniff, they're out of the important bowls. These guys are just going to shut it down. So I'm not saying they will shut it down, but their heads and not in it, whether they think it's not. But I think the Vandy game's probably as boring of a game of Vandy is, I think it's probably the most important game on the schedule for the Cats.
So you think if things go well against Vandy, 8-4?
I would say I think it's the season will turn into a good success.
Seth?
How do I feel about UK season?
What's the ending record? We've got Winston at 7-5.
That's what I think. Y'all going to be 0-10, baby. 0-10. Let's go Mountaineers. That's my prediction. I think you still won. Honestly, I think UK still won. I think they still won against Texas or Tennessee. I really do.
I do. That's an outside WVU boy.
I don't know if it's going to change the 8-4 prediction, but I do think they still won.
Save this clip. Opinion. Save this clip, Wes. Post this when it hits.
It's safe.
I think they still won.
I'm being honest. I believe they still won.
But could still – so he said keep the 8-4. So even though Seth thinks we could steal one, he also thinks that we could lose one that we should win as well.
Exactly. So, I'm going to give it a little leeway, but I think you still won.
Ooh, I like that.
I think Coach K is going viral tonight in either naming his horse or predicting that we beat Texas at Texas or Tennessee at Tennessee.
It's a toss-up which one it is, but
I don't know where it's going to come from, but I feel like it's happening. I'm going to go.
The defense is too good. The offense shows up one game. You're going to get one.
I'm going to say 7-5, and I'm going to say that at home we are safe in the SEC, because I think now that we dropped the South Carolina at home, I think it's desperate times at home for the BBN. So I'm going to say that we don't drop this one. We ain't supposed to drop at home. I'm going to say we drop it on the road, which means it'll have to be at Florida in the swamp, which is fine. But I'm going to say that we win the rest of those we're supposed to win and lose the rest of those we are supposed to lose. What's great about the Ole Miss game is that I think when everybody looked at the schedule and was predicting 6-6 or 7-5 or 8-4, we had the same. We've got the record we've got, right? Like, because everybody thought we would lose to Georgia and Ole Miss. They thought we would beat South Carolina at home. We got it back by beating Ole Miss in the Grove. So being 3-2 right now is worth the body surf by Mark Stoops, because I think he knows that too, right? He knows that too. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to play dumb, and Mark Stoops isn't dumb. He didn't go into this season thinking we'd be 12-0, but he also didn't think we'd go into this season and finish 6-6 or 5-7. So I think that win was everything for him, and I think you saw that reaction after the game from him, and a reaction that we usually don't see from him. I've never seen Mark Stoops body surf in the locker room or celebrate in the way that he did. He was very happy. So I think that came with great cause. So I'm going to settle in on 7-5, and I'm going to say we drop at Florida, but we win out at home. We lose at Texas and Tennessee.
Winston, I'm going to be honest with you. I think I'm going to go 7-5 as well, but I think the unfortunately, I think we win at Florida, but I think the one we drop is home against Auburn.
I thought you would say Louisville because you got all that Louisville crap in your room.
All you see behind me is Big Blue Determination. That's all I'm going to say.
I'm shocked. When that was coming out of your mouth, I was like, he's going to say Louisville, but you didn't.
It's Auburn. I think that Hugh Freeze has really had a struggling time, and I feel like you talked about desperation with Kentucky. I think that's desperation time for Auburn as well.
So you're right. What you got to remember as SEC is you go down the line, and like we always count this Vandy as a win, right? This is a different Vandy. Like, they will play desperate. Auburn is Auburn. You want to beat War Eagle when their backs are, you know, they're in the corner, they're a caged animal. Like, they're going to get desperate and do different things. So, like, even if at some point you think you've got them scouted, you think you've got them figured out, they get desperate. And when an SEC team, I don't care who it is desperate, you're in trouble. You know, it's like us against Georgia.
Well,
I think Kentucky will have more to lose.
And
I think Kentucky's got more to lose right now. I think Kentucky has to win some games.
Yeah.
Auburn right now is not on the radar.
Well,
if Kentucky wins some games here, Ole Miss is a top 10 team.
Yeah.
Come on now. Let's not get confused here. Kentucky just beat a top 10 team.
Yeah.
Okay.
On the road.
Yeah, exactly. So come on now. Like, we got to give props where props is due. West Virginia University is not doing that right now. There are multiple teams in the top 30 that cannot beat Ole Miss.
Brady said is also true, too, right? Is like, with NIL, the monster it's created is we may never know. I saw another player do it this week, and forgive me, I don't know where it was at. It might have been North Carolina. He was like a linebacker. I forgot where he was from. But, you know, again, was like, hey, we're winning, but I'm not getting what I was supposed to get. I'm out. I'm redshirting. You know, it was like.
Oh, no. That's
UNLV.
That's the UNLV one. But yes, there was another
Running
one
Rebels.
This week.
Running Rebels.
Luca.
There was another one this week. Yep. And so it's like, I don't know. Maybe when this gets halfway through, maybe the Auburn game is too far down the road, right? And maybe they've lost their locker room at that point.
They're going to lose two in a row before us. They play at Georgia and at Missouri before they come to
So you're going to get one of two things happen, right? They're either going to be freaking desperate or they're going to be laid down, you know? So
I would say laid down if I had a guess. I would say it's tough when these kids don't have anything. And I think that's where, again, difference between basketball and football. These basketball guys, they have a chance going into their conference tournament to make the NCAA tournament, so there's still hope, which is why maybe you won't see as many guys sit out this NIL.
Are you talking about the Temple Owls?
Can you give us your best fall? What's your best owl?
Seth is the nature expert.
Seth, what's an owl call? Give us an owl call.
We have two or three owls here. We have two or three native owls here in West Virginia.
Oh, yes.
We have the screech owl. We have the screech owl. And then we have the old-fashioned hoot owl, which is oh. That's it, baby. They should be calling soon.
KSR. They don't have Seth Kurlock given the alcohol.
KSR. You know what? I looked at that dude that you did a podcast on, too. That guy, too. I mean, you...
What do you got there? It's the owl. The owl.
And you know what? I think I will give a shout out to our good friend Andrew Ortelli. I think the Temple Owls are set. We'll do a basketball. Blue, you have to have us on closer to basketball season because I do.
We'll
think,
do a college basketball.
I love basketball
for sure.
I think the Temple Owls are
love set. Basketball. Watch basketball. Love basketball.
A great year.
Yeah,
I think Joey Brooks, obviously good friend of ours as well. They're in the same conference. We got to figure out a way to maybe do a podcast down in San Antonio when they play.
Joey said,
"We got to go down there for the game. We got to go down."
Joey said, and I quote, "Do not come to this game. No one will be there."
We will.
The Roadrunners and the Owls, the two birds. Oh,
JV. Roadrunners.
Oh, JV. The Battle of the Birds. The Roadrunners versus the Owls. We won't miss it. The Road Bird versus the Tree Bird. We won't miss that.
By God, we'll be there, bells and whistles.
Speaking of the Roadrunners, UTSA, I didn't realize this, but what stadium is it they play in for football? It's indoor.
University of Tennessee, San Antonio. University of Texas,
San Antonio.
I think they play down in
it's an indoor arena.
Yeah, I think it's San Antonio's arena. I can't remember the name of it, but I stayed down in San Antonio for a while. Yeah, it's true.
What were you doing down there, Sam?
Army medic training.
Okay.
Training to be an army medic. Lived there for about.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Lived there for about 4 months.
There.
Baby, I
thank
went
you
to
for
Alamo.
Your service there, Seth.
Hey, I went to Alamo, baby. Remember the Alamo?
Hey,
you know, what's the name of the arena that the Spurs play in? Might be the same one. Might be the same one.
Davy Crockett's, sadly, Davy Crockett's museum, his home place, washed away in the flood.
Oh.
Yeah, well. So
now
did many
it's just
other.
Remember the Alamo's all we got left.
God bless the Alamo.
What's in your eyes, Winston? What's reflecting off your glasses?
I don't know.
What are you looking at?
I don't know. I'm just thinking. I'm just thinking. I'm thinking about where I want to take this, but I'm stopping. I'm stopping okay. Here.
All right.
I'm gonna stop here. I really want to do though a college preview, a college basketball preview.
Oh, it's happening.
I do too. I would love that. I'd be in.
And I don't even know that much about, you know, each team yet. Have y'all been seeing these lists by Andy Katz?
Yeah.
Kentucky is not on any of these lists. We have to be on one of these lists, Andy Katz. I don't care what it is.
It's because he's not saints.
I get it that we're not on the stadium list, but that's still a little hurtful. Like, how is Rupp Arena not on your top 10 basketball venues? Are you kidding me? Like, come on. I mean, maybe, but come on.
Andy.
Who's in the top 10?
I don't know. It was, well.
You don't know.
It was a Kansas.
Kansas,
Gonzaga,
Purdue, North Carolina, Duke.
Gonzaga.
Kansas.
San Diego State,
huh?
That's what I'm saying.
Well, they're wild, huh?
No, that arena's pretty sweet.
Is it?
It's like a dome that goes right. It funnels out. It's all one level, but it's like a bowl. Yeah, it's a bowl. Yeah, bowl.
Fucking sweet. Bowl.
I'm gonna end this thing for Josh and for Winston's bedtime.
All right,
ladies and gentlemen, you know the drill. Sponsored by MCHC, providing better health for a longer life. God help us. We need some better health on this podcast.